It's a time that's been filled with addiction. Addiction of lies, gambling, and betrayal. Trying to help your partner overcome an addictive personality or a mental illness can be exhausting. Reaching out for advice when you watch your partner drowning in making choice after choice, year after year of self-destructive behavior, and knowing there's nothing you can do to prevent it because they won't listen. What do you suggest, Dr. Randy?
Welcome to Intentional Living. That's a heavy one. It's an important one. It's a big deal. And we're going to continue our discussion from yesterday with the questions that they've been pouring in, and they get on our storyline, like what you just heard from Diana. And we have others who are saying, hey, I love this person. I care for this person, but they won't listen. They just continue their self-destructive behavior. And I don't know what to do. It may come from early childhood trauma. It may be that there's resentment. It may be any number of things, but what is our role? What do you do for someone that you love who has self-destructive behavior? It may not be drugs or gambling. It could be any number of issues that you just look in and know. It could be just continually to reject God's intentional love for their life. As a result of that, their behavior is just not conducive for health in their life, and you care for them. What do you do? You can leave your comments. We got callers ready to go, but you can leave your story and your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Yesterday, if you missed the show, please listen to it on our podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcast, Intentional Living, or come to theintentionallife.com, because we had a great call yesterday from Trevor. Trevor is a recovering addict. He just shared his story of what he's learned. He's been sober now for a while, and he knows it's a daily struggle, but he made a very important point. Nobody else could change me. I had to get to the bottom. I had to make a decision. I had to be the one to say enough's enough. And you know what that did? That lit up the lines. We got people who want to comment on that general topic. And if you're listening today, Trevor, I think you're going to find hopefully some more encouragement. In fact, let's get going. Bill's first in Texas. Hi, Bill. How are you? Are you there, Bill?
Line 3.
Oh, wrong line. Hold on for a minute. Bill, are you there? Hello, Bill?
Steve,
I'm sorry. Are you there?
I am here.
All right. We finally got to the right person. Go right ahead.
There you go.
Go right ahead, Steve. Okay. What have you learned?
Okay, I've learned a lot. I grew up in an alcoholic dysfunctional family. I mean, it goes way back. I was smoking weed in the summer of fourth grade. Fast forward to shooting meth for 15 years. Fast forward for doing 10 years in prison.
Mm.
Got out. My first Sunday went to church. I was doing AA, NA, all those things. And then I got into a program called Celebrate Recovery, which is a faith-based 12-step program.
Yeah.
So now, later on, this deals with every hurt, habit, or hang-up. So it's not just drugs and alcohol. So, you know, once I got clean, I got all this other baggage, right? So now, fast forward, I'm a ministry leader in this Celebrate Recovery, and we deal with all hurts, habits, or hang-ups, and I'm 25 years clean and sober. I'm sponsoring men. I have accountability partners. We're all kind of plugged in. But, you know, what you were talking about is key about being intentional.
Sure.
So with, like I was talking, like, we got people, okay, they're not doing drugs and alcohol, but they still got all this other baggage, whether it be, and the big one is codependency. How do we be healthy and not be codependent on coming alongside of people?
Yeah.
You know?
And, explain like what that means for some. We hear these terms that are thrown out. What does that codependency look like?
Okay, codependency is when you're spinning around somebody trying to make them better, or you know, I can fix this person. I can do it. You know, and you can't fix anybody. We can only fix ourselves. And so many people. I mean, my family was codependent, which enables me to keep on doing what I'm doing.
Why did I'm sorry, I just want to be clear, Stephen. How did that help you? They were trying to help you. They were spinning around you, trying to help you. How did that hurt you?
Oh, it hurt me tremendously. It stopped me from getting to my bottom. It just kept me floating, kept me going, you know, until, like I said, I ended up in prison, which I tell people I was rescued. I wasn't arrested. You know, at that point, it was either do or die, you know, and I knew that I needed Jesus. The whole time, I've always believed in God my whole life. I just never had a relationship with God. And it's, and coming alongside of people, and you know, like you were talking about, you got a circle of people. Who's in your inner circle? Who's in the medium circle? Who's in the outer circle? You know, you got to have those boundaries. And, okay, so I'm going to be intentional about my overeating. Or, okay, Steve, hey, I'm having a problem with gambling. Okay, let's work on that. So, and in Celebrate Recovery, we have the STEP program. We go through these steps, which is very key, which unpacks everything from your childhood.
How are you doing now?
To the root.
How are you doing now, Steven?
Oh, it's awesome. Like I said, I'm a ministry leader now. I'm really plugged into our church. I'm sponsoring men. I have a sponsor. I have accountability partners. I'm an accountability partner with other people. And, you know, it's basically what Trevor said. You know, you can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink.
That's true. Absolutely. Hey, Steven, you know what? When I get the calls, when people are working it and God's moving in their life, it's like you. It's up. It's positive. I'm not perfect, but God's moving. On the other hand, how do you, as you're listening, do you have that kind of attitude Stephen does? He's been at the bottom, been in prison, been in recovery, been in all these things, and he's doing great now. I mean, he's growing. He still's got challenges. He gets it. But you can have that too. Celebrate Recovery is a program that can be helpful. Counseling. But listen, ultimately and originally, at the beginning of all this, give your life to Christ. Come to the end of yourself and realize that you've been created by God. He loves you. He cares for you. And he has a plan for your life when you submit to him. All right, Stephen, you keep preaching it and keep helping people, my friend. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Got your message that you would like us to share the different things that we're doing in our life due to listening to your radio station. Our house payment was taking up a majority of our income, and we were not able to tithe and make our house payment. We recently have made the decision to go ahead and let the house go to sell it. We've taken a huge financial loss, but it's become very important to us to financially put into the kingdom. We want to be tithing, and we want to be supporting your ministry on the radio, and it's time for Christians to step up, start funding and making life decisions so that the future of Christianity to the next generation can be carried through. And we need things like the radio station and ministries. Put our money where things are important. So I just thank you so much for that, because I've never felt so good about my money. And I actually feel better about downsizing. My heart is fuller than it ever was in the bigger house. So thank you for letting me have the opportunity to learn that. God bless this ministry and you. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you for that call. And she left that on our storyline. Humbling. We appreciate the sacrificial support of friends all around the country. And people say, well, what does it mean to support? We're listener-supported ministry here at Intentional Living, part of Intentional Life Media Ministry. And that means when you support, you help us with this part of the ministry, with our radio, with our events, and the things that we do online, with our podcast to reach more people, bring people to see people come to Christ, present a better way in terms of living our lives intentionally in Christ. That's why we do this, and your support matters. Come and join us. We appreciate it. And when you become a monthly member, by the way, you get automatic access to our our exclusive platform of all the past teaching. I do a monthly lesson that we put up and new things that go up online in this area where it'll be available to you on demand. And if you're a current member, you received an email in the last month giving you access to that. And if you haven't gotten it or you misplaced it, please let us know. Please call and say, hey, I'm a member, but I didn't get that. And we'll make sure you get that link, okay? Again, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Teresa is in Arizona.
Yes,
hi, Teresa. Appreciate your call.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to shout out a encouragement to people. I'm a grandmother, okay, of a granddaughter that got hooked on drugs, about 5 years ago. And I was very much of a co-enabler. And I didn't want to admit that she had the problem. I let her stay with me when I shouldn't have. And it just really was hard on me to, you know, and I didn't do anything right to help my granddaughter.
What did you think what were you trying to do? What do you think? I mean, what kinds of things? You let her stay there? You thought that would help her get out of this?
I guess. And then I would feed her, you know, she would take my car sometimes. And so I just, I felt like, and I didn't know I was doing this until my daughter, which is, you know, her mom, brought it to my attention. Because my daughter, when this all first started, she went and got, you know, she joined a support group for mothers of addicted or, you know, children, mm-hmm, or adults. And she knew the right things to do because she, you know, wouldn't let her daughter stay there. She, you know, she was, I don't want to say just tough love, but so anyway, so that's, you know, her mother was doing the right things, but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what did you do?
Well, I just, like I say, I let her use my car.
What did you do finally when you finally got to the end?
What did
you do
finally? Well, finally, my daughter called me one day and said, Mom, if you don't quit enabling her, you and I, our relationship is over. So you got to choose. She needs help, but she needs to get to the bottom. And what you're doing is only delaying the process. And so if you want a relationship with me, you need to go get counseling as to how to deal with her, you know, and therefore when you quit enabling her, you and I will then have our relationship as a mother and daughter. And that's what brought me to reality.
And how is she doing now?
Oh, my granddaughter is fantastic. She did spend time in prison for a year and a half, but she got saved in prison. My daughter and I went to visit her all the time, and now she's married and going to have her first child, married a Christian man. They're both following the Lord, and so it's just a success story. But, you know, I would encourage somebody else out there that might have been doing what I was doing was not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that call. You know, it's like a cul-de-sac. You can get into it, and you go around in circles. You go around and around and around, but you don't go anywhere. And that's what can happen when we enable. We use these words in counseling, right? We enable someone to continue to go around and around and not get healthy instead of getting to a place where they have to deal with and confront the issues in their own life, which is part of the process of healing. All right. Thank you for that call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Bill. Bill wanted to respond to Trevor, who called yesterday, a recovering addict, and what's going on in his life. I think you wanted to add to it from Texas. Bill, go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, or good evening, afternoon. and that last caller, too, I admire her call. I was 17 when I hit my first illegal drugs, which was smoking, everything, drinking. And then I carried on for well over 20 years. What really boosted it up is that back then 18 was the legal age of drinking. And then after I turned 18, a few days after, they made that law 21. So I didn't worry about it. I got grandfathered through it. They said anybody that was born at that time didn't have to wait till 21. And I wasn't saved then, but I was really bad at it. But I never, ever got, you know, in trouble, spent any time in jail, prison. And thank God I didn't hurt anybody or run over anybody. It was just amazing how I went through without having any legal problems. But I got off of it over 15, 20 years ago. But the prison I'm in now is my own body. When I was in the hospital, the practitioner asked me if I did stuff in the past, and I said yes. But she said, well, you know, it leaves your blood, but everything you do, your liver holds everything you do. And as you get older, it starts spewing out all the things you did in the past, and you're going to have bad health, which is what I got. I got heart failure. I got kidney disease. I had to do dialysis. And two legs I can barely walk on. And so now I say, yeah, I'm paying for the crime I did doing illegal. And now I got tons of legal drugs I'm supposed to take to keep myself healthy, but I don't want to take them. I've never done what the doctor said about taking my pills the way I should. And it's got me so down. It's just like, I'm surprised I'm not turning to the illegal drugs, but now I just don't want to do anything. And now I'm paying for it after 30 years. Because I was a drug addict and alcoholic for over 25 years.
And you've learned, obviously, the message would be to some younger folks coming up behind you, there's always a cost. There's always a consequence for the decisions that we make. And listen, we are pleased with you and rejoice with you, Bill, that you found freedom from those drugs. As you know, that would have taken you a lot sooner. And now paying some of the price, and we all do in life, right? It doesn't have to be drugs. It can be a number of behaviors that we pay the price with our health later on. But we keep coming back to the fact that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that we have the hope of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness. Listen, if you're feeling overwhelmed today with guilt and regret, and it's impacting you spiritually and you're a follower of Christ, remember what the scripture says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is a powerful thing. All right. Thank you, Bill. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Minute. We're talking about making better decisions, and on that list of the top 10 is to ask, what are the people that you respect, the counselors in your life, what are they telling you? You know, the scripture says there's safety in many counselors. Now, if it's the right counselors, because you can have a lot of counselors giving you a lot of different advice, but if you have the right godly men and women in your life, listen carefully. What are they saying to you about your situation? Because they have objectivity, they have distance, maybe experience that can be helpful to you. One of the things I've learned in working with people over the years is that we learn from other people. Maybe there's questions you need to ask of people that you respect about decisions you're about to make. Because when you do that, you're more likely to make better decisions. And of course, that's the goal. And that is intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, we appreciate your support so very much. Thank you for allowing Intentional Living to continue. Can I encourage you and three other people right now to say, we get it. We want to be a part of Intentional Living to help fund the ministry, to keep it going. Your monthly support makes a difference. How much? We don't set an amount. Whatever God lays on your heart. We have folks who give $50 a month, $1 a day, $30 a month, some more, some less. But when you come, your help, you're part of the family. That's what we want, to be a part of the family. And then we're going to give you access to our platform, digital platform of all of the teaching for the last couple of years from Intentional Living, our monthly teaching that is exclusive for our members, and then new things that we put up there as well as a way of encouraging you and thanking you for being a part of the ministry. How do you do that? Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or you can call 888-888-1717 and press number 2 to talk to our staff during West Coast business hours. Would you do that today? Listen, we appreciate your support. Yesterday and today, we've been talking about loving someone who has behaviors that are self-destructive in life. And you've been paying close attention, Jennifer, running the board, but also listening. It looks like you got something you'd like to add there.
Yeah. Well, it's First of all, everyone who's called in, you are so brave, and we do love you. We have no judgment, and we love hearing the success that you're having. And just know that, you know, whenever you call in, there's other people just like you, and they're going to call in too. They'll get that boost maybe that they need. And if you are not Christian yet, welcome. I became a Christian at 41. I had a different religion, and I don't know why I had this thought in my head, but that Christians, you know, were perfect. And I have learned the biggest lesson, that it's quite the opposite. Being Christian means we're broken, but God made us who we are. He loves us as we are, but we also try to strive to be more like Him. Sure. And it's a journey. And it's special, and we start from the bottom, and we got to work ourselves, on up.
Absolutely. We look at our whole ministry as being on a journey with all of our listeners. We're on this together. We just get a chance to be on this side of the microphone, and you're on that side, and we're on the same journey, got the same stuff going on we wrestle with in life, but we have a hope, and we need each other, and that's why we see this as an important community. That's
yes, good. And we all love God, and He loves us.
Amen. Thank you. Sharing that, Jennifer. You know, when you think about this, this topic, it affects all of us. It affected our family. I think about my mother. I had an uncle who struggled with alcoholism all of his life until finally he just gave up and gave in and ended his journey. And I remember my mother would say that he tried everything. And Grandma would be, my grandma would try everything, to encourage and do it, all the things we talk about. But at the end of the day, someone has to get to the end and say, listen, I can't do this alone. And when I hear these stories one after another, people saying, I got to the end, maybe in prison, maybe in a hospital, broken marriage. I gave my life to Christ. That was the turning point. That was the point that things started to move in a better direction. When you give your life to Christ today, it doesn't mean that your addiction is gone tomorrow. Now, maybe God has a way of healing some people like that. I don't understand all that, but He does. And for some, and for many of us, not so much. It's a process. But the power, God is there with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you as you go through that journey. And that's why we're here. And that's why we want to continue to remind you of that powerful truth. All right. Art wants to join in, talking about kids, apparently. Go right ahead.
I have two adult children. My daughter's 22. She still lives in Indiana. And my son's 26, and he moved down here last December. It's been a year and 3 months he's been here. He's living with us. Mm-hmm. And he is still wanting to drink and live the party life. And that's mm-hmm. what he grew up seeing in his father and his mother. And since he's moved down here, I mean, I've been saved now for about 6 years. And I mean, I'm a regular church member. My wife, I married a Christian woman when I came back down here. We married and we're involved in the church. But I'm trying to find the best way to, I know you can't force anything on him, but encourage him to not run the same path that I ran for so many years. I mean, he's been in trouble with the law and he's still doing the same things. And I guess I'm lost for what I can do. I've canceled a church and we've set boundaries. We made when he first moved down here, we actually made a covenant, and he didn't go by the covenant, and I had to kick him out and put him in a hotel for a couple of weeks, and I told him to write me a letter on why he needs to move back in. And it's just an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Well, Art, let me ask you. You live this kind of life. What had to wake you up?
You know, the bottom line was, I went to AA for a while, and I don't agree with everything AA has to offer, but they have some good things to offer. Uh-huh. And one of the things I did hear, and I do believe, is, you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
There you go.
And that's what it came to. And this one day, because I grew up in the church, my parents took me to church when I was a child. But when I turned and got to high school, and I started hanging out with the wrong people and doing the wrong things, and that went on for 25, 30 years. And fortunately, I'm 53, so fortunately, it wasn't as bad as what I think it is today.
I mean, was there a crisis for you, though, Art? Did you have a crisis? Did you bottom out? You said you were sick and tired. What was happening? Did you just have a bottom point?
I was just getting sick and tired of, you know, hanging out with this woman or this woman, and I lost a job, and I was going broke, and it just got to the point where the only answer I knew was to turn my life to God, and I started going to church.
There you go.
I met Pastor Williams up in Lafayette, Indiana, and
there you go.
I've been going to church since then.
All right. The reason I ask is because that's what I expected you to say. You had to get to a place where you were sick and tired of it. You realized the consequences were adding up, and they were multiplying. The upside was no longer there. And I think sometimes as parents, because we love our kids so much, we see them making mistakes and doing adult children doing things they shouldn't do. It's easy to jump in and try to reduce the pain level, but in the process, we don't allow them to ever bottom out. We never allow them to get to a place where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired and mad enough that they're willing to change their lives. And so I think you're right on target with your son to tell him your story, but to also say, hey, listen, that's not the way it's going to operate in this house. If you want to be here, this is the covenant that we've made, and if you violate it, you know, you're going to be out of here, and it's not going to be in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. We're not going to play that kind of game. And secondly, the question that you got to ask your son is, where is this leading you? At the end of the day, you want to end up like Dad almost ended up. It's a decision you have to make. But if you and your wife are on the same page, I think you've got to love your son. You got to pray for him, but part of love is also being tough and putting boundaries in place. And I think you got to stick with that because you love him.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's even what the pastors at the church said. And that is so hard to do though sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm trying my darndest to let go. You know, the old saying, "Let go and let God," and He knows what's going to be best. You know, Brandon may have to go to jail for a while, or
he may have.
You know, he. But I just hate to see something really drastically happen. Maybe I'm looking at it in a wrong way. I mean,
Well, you love your son, and you know where this pain will take him and his decisions. You tell him the truth, and you stand by and. You know, pity the man who falls down, has no one to pick him up, it says in Ecclesiastes, and sometimes that's all we can do is stand by and wait to help pick up a son or daughter or someone we love in our own family when they get to a place that hopefully they want to get back up. They want to get back up and live a healthy life or a better life. All right. 2 days. Wow. If you missed yesterday, you can listen to it on our podcast. If you missed part of today's program, it's available as well. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com or wherever you get your podcast, put in Intentional Living. Intentional Living is a part of the ministry of Intentional Life Media. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day, and we'll see you again next time right here from our Intentional Living Center.